So good to be able to pray together in that way. It unites us in God's presence as well. I'm honored and humbled again to be able to preach this morning. Pastor Michael and Maggie are in Illinois celebrating a wedding in the family, so they are celebrating this weekend. As we get started today, last week Pastor Michael introduced the new series, which is How to Be a Church for the Region. So we are South Lake, a church for the region, and we are going to be walking through different things that we need to do or believe or how to be, essentially. It's a How to Be series on how to be a church for the region. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the kingdom. But before we get started, maybe some of you noticed I changed the motto. What do you think of our new motto here? South Lake, a church for the church. Does that sound a little odd? No? What does that communicate? A church for the church. If that was on our new sign out front and people drove by, what do you think that they would think? A church for the church. Does the church exist just for the church's sake? No. What if it said, and Mike brought this up last week, what if it said the church for the region? What if we believed that we were the church for the region, not a church for the region? Is the church bigger than South Lake? Yes. We are a church for the region. So why does the church exist as a whole? Why does the church exist as a whole? Some of the things that come to mind, lots of reasons, but some of the ones that come to mind right now, worship. You know, we want to worship God. Service of other people. We partake in the sacraments together. Baptism, communion, we read scripture, we listen to scripture, we hear a message about scripture and about Jesus. Discipleship. These are just a few of the things that come to my mind when I think of church and why it exists. But are any one of these things solely why the church exists? Or even altogether? No, they're all parts of it, but each one exists because the church exists to bring glory to God and to advance his kingdom in the world. All of these things that I've just listed, and there are lots more, they all help that mission. They all add to that, which is to bring glory to God and advance his kingdom in the world. Last week, we saw an example of a church that failed to be part of the church. It failed to be part of God's church. So our mission as South Lake is to be the church that God has called us to be, and that is to be a church for the region. But we can't be a church for the region if we, the people here, are not a people for the kingdom of God. So there needs to be a shift in the way that we see and think about church if we're going to live out being a church for the region. And so the question I want us to think through here in a minute is, are we starting from the focal point of the church, or are we starting from the focal point of the kingdom? So that may sound kind of like the same things, but if you start with everything you do being focused on the church, you might actually not make it to kingdom work. You can start with the church, but may fail to reach the kingdom. But if you start with a mindset and a focus on God's kingdom, it will always find an expression through the local church, because that's how God has designed his kingdom to work. So I'm going to walk through these briefly. The church framework, here's a couple of key points about what the church framework is. And get, none of these are bad. None of these are bad, but God is calling us to more. So none of these are bad or wrong. They're all a piece of it, but God is calling us to go beyond this and deeper than this. He's calling us to more. So in the church framework, the gospel, the good news that's preached, is the gospel of salvation, which is true. Jesus comes to save us. This becomes the goal. So the goal is to get people saved, whatever way possible. And this is true. This is exactly what Jesus died for, is to save us from sin, to save us from death, from ourselves. This is the goal. But that's really the beginning of where life with Christ starts, is salvation. In the church framework, a disciple becomes language for essentially just how to be a good church member. So a disciple in a church framework is just being a good church member. You show up on Sunday, you go to Sunday school, and you know, you come to service events, or you give your tithe regularly. All of these things are good, but God is calling us to more. In the church framework, society, then, outside of the church, is something that we try to separate from. It's kind of society is an enemy that we try to separate from to avoid corruption. There's a lot of evil and injustice and perversion and sin and just awful stuff that goes on in society. And so as a church, we want to separate from that so that we don't experience that. We don't get corrupted by that. There's an aspect of that that's true. God is calling us to be holy, but he's also calling us to more than just separation from society. And then in the church framework, the church is the building, it's the organization, it's the institution, and it's the Sunday event. It's where we bring people to. The goal is to get people into church. Again, all of that is true, all of that is an aspect of it, and that's one thing that we're called to do. None of them are bad or wrong, but God is calling us to more than that. So that's the church framework. But what shifts when we begin with a kingdom framework instead of a church framework? In the kingdom framework, the gospel is salvation, and it's also the gospel of the kingdom of God, which has impact for the here and now. It's not just salvation for when we die. It's not just when we go to heaven when we die because we're good with Jesus, but it has impact here and now. So if you're a visual learner like me, we have a simple diagram up here. And scholar Scott McKnight shares this quote about what the kingdom is. The kingdom is integration of heaven into earth. It's the application of God's spirit and his will in the physical world. So the image that we see in the Bible from Genesis all the way through to Revelation is that heaven, which is God's space, and earth, which is human space, overlap. This is what the kingdom of God is. And so in the Garden of Eden, that was where heaven and earth was overlapping. Throughout the Old Testament, that was the temple, the space where humans and God can dwell together. And in Jesus, this is what he's bringing to us, is the overlap of heaven and earth. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This has impact for here and now. Then in the kingdom framework, a disciple is not just a good church member, but a disciple is a son and daughter of the king. It's someone who hears the word of God and obeys it. Simply hears and obeys. Think about it this way. You can be a really, really good church member and actually fail to be obeying the word of God. But if you hear and obey the word of God, I promise you will be the best church member there ever was. But you'll also be more than just a good church member. Then in the kingdom framework, society is not something just to separate from, but it's actually a domain or a grid that we, as ambassadors of God's kingdom, can go into bringing the kingdom of God with us. This is how we work for the reconciliation of all things that God has talked about and what Jesus proclaimed the message of. Then the church. We get to the church. In the kingdom framework, the church shifts from just being a Sunday morning event to then being us as the people. Being a Christian is a verb. God is building an army. These things speak to this. The church are the called out ones. We are the family of God who are called out for the glory of God and to send people out for the glory of God and the advancing of his kingdom. So the goal that we see in Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, aren't separate from each other. God casts out evil and gets rid of death, and there's no mourning, there's no pain, there's no crying, there's no tears. But this is the image of the kingdom. It's heaven and earth being united completely, fully restored in a new way that is the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus is beginning in his ministry on earth and what we as the church are called out to bring. So our mission as the church is to then be bringing God's space and human space together, to be bringing earth and heaven together, to bring the kingdom of God where we're at. To be a church for the region, we have to be a people for the kingdom of God. So let's go to scripture this morning to unpack this a little bit more. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, if you have them. We're going to be in Matthew this whole morning. It's a great book to learn about the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, begins this way. Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." In this passage, John the Baptist is being portrayed as a herald. And a herald is someone who proclaims a message, makes a public proclamation for a king who's about to make an entrance. So he goes before the king and makes an announcement of the king's entrance. So what is John the herald's announcement? Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is arriving. Many people are coming to John the herald, John the Baptist, and they're confessing their sins and being baptized. Then Jesus comes to him too, and Jesus is then baptized, and this is the passage where God's voice comes from heaven and affirms Jesus as his son, which being God's son is a claim to kingship in these times, and it identifies Jesus as the humble servant into whose hands God is placing the mission of salvation to the whole world. And this language, well pleased, the servant God is well pleased to do this with, comes from Isaiah 42. And this was a prophecy made more than 600 years before Jesus shows up on the scene. So Jesus is identified as the king, and his mission to bring salvation to the world is identified as well in this moment. So we have the herald's announcement, we have the claim to kingship, and we have the mission of the king. And now that Jesus, the king, has shown up on the scene, let's hear his message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The herald and the king are saying the same thing. They're saying repentance is a prerequisite for entering the kingdom of heaven. To enter under the rulership of Jesus, to be a kingdom person, we have to repent. And repent simply means to turn or to change one's mind. So as a short example, if I am going home from the church, I go out to Route 30, and I turn right, I head east on Route 30, and earlier this past week, on Monday, I started to go home, and then I realized something that caused me to stop and repent, to change my direction, to change my course. It was Valentine's Day on Monday. And I knew I needed to stop and repent and swing by Albany's on my way home to pick up some Valentine's Day candy for Brooke. I had to make a U-turn. My course of direction was not leading me to anything good, but I needed to turn and make things right. So if we want to be a people for the kingdom of God, we have to begin with repentance. None of us are perfect. We all know that. None of us are perfect. We all say things or do things or think things that are not in alignment with how God, our King, has told us that his domain functions. And so repentance is us turning to align those things with the way that Jesus has spoken about his kingdom. We need to confess these things both in prayer and to a trusted brother or sister in the kingdom. To fully enter kingdom life, it begins with turning from what seems good in our eyes to what our King has taught and demonstrated is good. Sometimes we think things about society or about other people or a group of people, or we do things that we regret in the moment, or we've done things in the past that we didn't see as wrong then, but now, having walked with Jesus, he's opening our eyes to see how his ways are different, how we are going on a different path. We're not congruent with what his kingdom is about. So for some of us, or some of our actions, it may need to be a 180 turn. I was heading east and I needed to head west. Sometimes it may need to be a 180 degree turn. Other times it may be like a 30 degree turn, right? You've done something a little off, or you thought this was what Jesus was calling you to do, and repentance means maybe, oh, you know what? I think Jesus is calling me to turn this way. We need to turn to see what our King has taught and demonstrated is good. So where do we see Jesus teaching and demonstrating what is good? What kingdom people look like? Matthew is really glad we asked that question this morning. He shows us God's kingdom through Jesus' word and his work. In Matthew 4:23, just a few verses later, it says this: Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Jesus was teaching and proclaiming, and he was healing. So this is really cool how the Bible does this. It summarizes the next five chapters. That verse summarizes the next five chapters of the book of Matthew. There's a chart here, if you can pull that chart up, that shows us that the next three chapters, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, are about Jesus teaching what the kingdom looks like, what kingdom people look like. If you're a person for the kingdom, you're going to bear these markers. This is the Beatitudes. Some of you may know them. I encourage you to go read Matthew 5 through 7 on your own or with your group. But the kingdom of heaven is so different from every other powerful kingdom that we've experienced in this world that forces itself on people, that uses violence. It's so different. Jesus has to spend so much of his time teaching about the different ways that his kingdom works. When he says the kingdom of God, people think one thing. So he has to help them repent and come to an understanding of what the kingdom is like. Here are some of the ways his kingdom works, some of the things that describe his kingdom people. Those who have the most to be ashamed about, who are humble in their spirit, actually become the most important and the most powerful in the kingdom of God. People who are mourning loss or are mourning destruction are brought comfort in the kingdom of God. The people who don't seek to grab power and authority, the meek, these people have the biggest inheritance. They gain the most in the kingdom of heaven. People who are just starving for things to be the way that they should, in the kingdom of heaven, they have this hunger for righteousness, things being made right. They have that hunger satisfied. Giving mercy to people who do not deserve mercy leads to mercy being given to you by the King. People who clear their heart of sin and sinful desires will see God more clearly. People who don't avoid conflict, but actually step in and enter into conflict and injustice to bring about peace and reconciliation, these people, when they do that, show that they bear the family resemblance of their Father. And when others attack and persecute these types of people, that's when they become truly powerful in God's kingdom. This is a brief picture of what a kingdom person looks like. So then we move on from Jesus teaching about this to then demonstrating it through his works. In Matthew chapter 8 and 9, it shows Jesus actually living this out. He lifts up those people who should be ashamed. And he brings comfort to people who are hurting and mourning. He brings healing to people who are hurting. He gives mercy to people who don't deserve it. Jesus lives this out. And this is what it looks like when Jesus takes over the world. Rome looked very different when it took over the world. Jesus is demonstrating what it looks like when he takes over the world. So if that's what it looks like when Jesus takes over the world, if that's what it looks like when his kingdom takes over that area, then this is what it should look like if the kingdom is taking over Lake and Porter County. First, we need to be changed by his word, which always involves some level of repentance. Then, the coming of God's kingdom always involves the physical. Jesus proclaims the kingdom, and then he heals people. So for us, if we're a people for the kingdom, we need to both talk and teach about the good news of the kingdom of God. And we need to bring that into physical reality through the way that we live. Healing people, meeting needs, changing crime rates, prolonging life, feeding people, clothing people, and bringing it into physical reality through transformation of people's actions. Ours and others. This is how we bring the kingdom of heaven into physical reality. We live this out. To be a church for the region, we have to be a people for the kingdom. The only way we will actually be a church impacting the region is if we are a people made up of God's kingdom. We won't see transformation through the community closet if it's only ever about South Lake giving away clothes. That's not our motto. We're not a church for church's sake, a church for the church. That's not who we are. Instead, it has to be about individuals and families receiving both clothing and the compassion of Jesus through someone who is a part of God's kingdom. And by the way, they happen to go to a local church called South Lake. For me, this is cause for reflection too. As I'm leading the youth ministry, is my youth ministry desire for South Lake just to have the most middle school and high school students from Lake and Porter County gathering here on a Thursday night? Or am I a shepherd in the kingdom, bringing young people in to experience God's word and his work? Am I equipping and discipling students to send them out as ambassadors for this kingdom, to then be agents of change, bringing that purple space, the God's kingdom, into where they have influence? For each of you, how does your work or your career affect South Lake? It probably doesn't have anything to do with this church, South Lake. Most likely, your work and your job doesn't directly benefit South Lake Church. But who cares? Because if you are submitting to the kingdom, if you're submitting to Jesus as the king in his kingdom, then your work can build up his kingdom. It doesn't need to just benefit South Lake. If you're submitting to Jesus as king, your work and your life will benefit his kingdom. There's a picture here of U.S. Steel. One of the biggest employers here in the region. The industry here is mostly steel industry. We have multiple plants like this. What would the environment there or at one of these other steel plants look like if people went into work there and brought the kingdom of God with them? What if people who were shaped by the kingdom started caring for others through their work, through what they do at work? I think on one hand, in my mind, sometimes a church framework means, okay, I just want to be the nicest person at work. I want to be the nicest coworker out of anybody. And they'll see that I'm different. They'll see that I'm a Jesus follower. That's good. Hopefully you're not the meanest person at work. That may be something that the repentance needs to happen. But God is calling us to more than that. What if people who were shaped by the kingdom started caring for others through their work? Here's another helpful diagram for my fellow visual learners. Let's take this a step farther. Is the church bigger than South Lake? Yes. Each church, each local church, should be a little micro hotspot of the kingdom of heaven. This is what they had in the New Testament. Imagine each of those little purple circles underneath were the church in Ephesus, or Colossae, or the church in Rome, or Antioch. These communities where people gathered became little hotspots of where heaven was meeting earth. The presence of God dwelled there. The people of God gathered there. People were healed there. And this is what we have today still. South Lake can be maybe that circle. Maybe the Baptist church and the Methodist church and the Lutheran church across the street are the other ones. If we are a people for the kingdom, that will be our church. Then, from each local church, if we are kingdom people, it even goes a step farther. Because we can't pick this building up and move it. I don't think we're that strong to pick it up and carry it, you know, to your workplace. So if you're a kingdom person, then you will be bringing the kingdom of heaven with you into your workspace. We can go even farther because we each have our own sphere where we can bring the kingdom of heaven. Our families, our neighborhoods, our workplace, the places we gather, the places we eat. We go even farther. And if we are people, ambassadors for the kingdom, this is what it looks like. We bring that with us, just as Jesus brought it to earth when we follow his demonstration, his teaching. This is what it looks like. So how can you live as a representative of God's kingdom in your work environment? Here are some things to think about. Are you putting up barriers? And this is not just work environment, this is neighbors as well, I think. So for those of you who don't work, but are you putting up barriers to limit your coworkers' life, your coworkers to just your life at work? Are you doing the same with your neighbor? Are you putting up barriers so that they only know you in the 8 hours that you go to work, give or take? Do they only know you as the person who lives next door and has small talk elevator conversations with? Or are you inviting them into your life? Are you, not in an intrusive way, but breaking down barriers to get to know them and get to know them outside of work so that you can care for them on a deeper level, know them, support them, encourage them? What else could this look like? Another thing to think about, how do people benefit from the work that you do? What does your business or organization provide or do for people? Do you have any say in your organization about how they interact with people? Can you push for a more ethical practice or more integrity in your workplace? What skills and gifts are you using at work that could maximize God's will in the world for his kingdom? What skills and gifts has God given you? Do you work with your hands or with technology? With numbers? Do you work with people? How could you use these skills and gifts not just to benefit or not just to help yourself or your organization, but actually to help others flourish, even outside of work? Can you use these skills outside of the area of your workplace or your home? Can you go outside and bring the kingdom of heaven with you through what God has given you and gifted you with? At this point, we're going to have a short time of reflection, just a couple minutes. And there are three questions. They'll be on the screen here in a second. And they're also in your bulletin. So if you grabbed a bulletin this morning, use the notes section. Actually, grab a pen. We're going to have a few minutes. You can write this down. If not, if you have something else to write with, great. Or you can just simply pray through this. But I want us to reflect on three of these questions. And if you're in a life group, begin to answer them now so that you can discuss these with your group later on. But here are the three questions. What is something God is inviting you to repent or turn from? Second question is, which of the descriptions of the kingdom found in the Beatitudes, kingdom people, apply most to you? Which ones do you feel you could grow in? And then finally, what could it look like to bring the kingdom to your area of work or your neighbors and to your coworkers? I want us to all sit here and reflect on these and write down some answers. Take an action step right now and reflect on these for just a few minutes, and then we'll come up and close this message. I hope this has been a helpful time of reflection for you. And I hope we can see our mission here at South Lake in light of the kingdom of God going forward. We saw an example last week of a church that ended up failing to be a hotspot for kingdom people. They failed to be the church that God had called them to be. They may have been a church for church's sake. It was a huge church at one point, but it was just a church for church's sake. Later on in the book of Matthew, in chapter 21, Jesus tells a story about a man who planted a vineyard. He entrusted it to people, and then he went on a journey. When it was time to harvest, he sent workers, but the growers he had trusted his vineyard to took the workers that he sent for the harvest and killed them. So he did the same thing again. He sent more workers, and those people took and killed the workers again. Finally, he sent his son so that they would respect his son. And the caretakers of the vineyard took his son and killed him, thinking that they could take the vineyard for themselves. So Jesus asked the crowds he's teaching using this parable, what will happen to the growers? And they all agree that they will be brought to justice. There are so many churches who have failed to be kingdom people. They've rejected Jesus, the King. And God has taken away the kingdom of heaven from them. Jesus says after sharing this parable in verse 43, chapter 21, verse 43, he says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." Our prayers at South Lake will continue to grow as kingdom people who will produce the fruit of the kingdom and not just live for South Lake alone. God has trusted his kingdom to us. If we're ambassadors for that kingdom, we will go out and produce the fruit of the kingdom. So this is a fundamental shift in how we think about church, what it means to be the church. A final question, which is kind of a litmus test for everything we do to help us see whether it's for the kingdom or not, is this question. Who does this benefit? Does this just benefit me? Does this decision or action just benefit me? Or does it just benefit my tribe, my family, my friends, those who share my cultural identity or my political affiliation? Does it just benefit my tribe? Neither of those are bad. If it benefits you, that doesn't automatically mean it's bad. Does it benefit South Lake? Does it just benefit this church at the neglect of others? Or does this decision or action benefit the kingdom? Because if it benefits the kingdom, it'll benefit all of those. But if we are kingdom people, we need to hold this up in front of us and say, does this benefit the kingdom of God or just me and mine and my church? Everything we do shouldn't be just for South Lake Church. But if the people who make up South Lake Church do everything for the purpose of the kingdom of God, then we won't be left with just a shallow worship service on Sunday morning once a week. That's not what we have right now. But if we do everything for the purpose of the kingdom of God, we will continue to see growth in people here. We'll continue to see growth in the loving and trusting community here. And we'll continue to see flourishing for the people who live in Lake and Porter counties. And God will be praised and he will be glorified. And his kingdom will be advanced through us as a people for the kingdom. So pray with me right now that God would shape us to be kingdom people so that we can be a church for the region. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the invitation to be part of your kingdom. We want that so badly. God, we have gotten a glimpse of what your kingdom is like. What happens when your kingdom advances in our world and in our lives, God? Jesus, you began this on your earthly ministry, and through your Spirit and through your church, you are continuing to advance your kingdom. So God, we ask that we would repent, that we would turn to you, that we would come into alignment, into agreement with the ways that your kingdom works, God. The love that your kingdom has for people, the compassion that your kingdom shows to people, the mercy that your kingdom demonstrates. the forgiveness that is the rule of your kingdom. God, the selflessness of those who are true ambassadors for your kingdom. God, the generosity that is the economy of your kingdom. God, we pray that your Spirit would shape us to be these people, that we would see you in a new way, that we would be ambassadors, that everywhere we go, we know that we are carrying the kingdom with us. God, set us on fire for your mission. Don't let us be complacent to just come to church, God, but let us take your kingdom from this church and bring it to our neighbors, to our friends, to our workplaces, to our families, God. We want your kingdom to advance. We want your kingdom to overtake South Lake, this church, God. We want your kingdom to take over Lake County. God, let us have an impact there and bring glory to your name and to your kingdom, God. Let us bring glory to your name and your kingdom in Porter County as well. God, let every decision we make be centered on your kingdom, that it would shape us to be more like kingdom people, that we would be bringing others in to experience the goodness of your kingdom, and that we would be bringing heaven to earth through reconciliation, through restoration, God, and by all of this, through your Spirit. God, we thank you that you go before us, that there is no work that you haven't already prepared for us, and that really we are just joining in the work that you're already doing there. God, we thank you for the honor of being ambassadors for your kingdom, that we are marked by that, that we hold this responsibility, God. Let us be faithful with it. Bring other ambassadors of your kingdom alongside us to encourage us, to support us as we work together as a church to do this. And God, help make South Lake Church a hotspot for your kingdom, that when people come here, they would experience what your kingdom looks like, that they would experience healing and compassion and comfort. God, that they would experience all of these things that Jesus, you have brought to begin with. We know that you've said that we will go and do greater things, God, so this is what we are faithfully trusting you with to do in us and through us. God, we ask all of this in Jesus, your powerful name. Amen. If you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please hold out your hands like this? We have been charged with the mission of bringing God's kingdom to South Lake, or to South to Lake and Porter counties, to be a church for the region. God has entrusted this to us, and he's not left us alone to do it by ourselves. But he goes with us, before us, as a king, as a friend, as a brother, to support us and encourage us. So let us carry the responsibility of being an ambassador of God's kingdom, bringing healing and bringing comfort and bringing God's Spirit and presence, bringing heaven to Lake and Porter counties through the work of South Lake. And let this be a community of people who are marked by God's kingdom. So go and follow how Jesus has taught his kingdom works, and go and live this out in your families, in your friend groups, in your workplaces, and in your neighborhoods. To see transformation, let us be a people of God's kingdom. Hug someone and tell them you love them. We'll see you next week, South Lake.